Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Do you think these are the best dad movies in history?
Well, Father's Day is coming up this weekend, right, Anna? Mm-hmm. So a lot of people are trying to figure out how it is they're going to spend time with their kids or with their dads. And I was thinking about this. I saw a list the other day of like top TV dads. So I'm curious what it would be because there's only so many golf trips and different things that you can go on.
Do you recognize this dad's voice? It's very recognizable.
Howard, excuse me, but your wife's cookies are out of this world.
What a... Who told you can eat my cookies? Put that cookie down now!
Put that cookie down now! That's going to be jingle all the way, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
It sure is. That's number five on the list of greatest movie dads of all time.
Well, I could tell you that, listen, while that's a very sweet movie in some ways, it's also a highly aggressive. Him and Sinbad attacking each other over this toy. And as somebody who's had to track down a toy before, good dad, but by today's standards, he should definitely be calmer.
All right, best movie dad coming in number four. This one's going to make me cry.
Grace, I know I promised you I was coming home.
I don't understand.
Looks like I'm going to have to break that promise.
Oh my gosh, I remember being in high school when this movie came out and crying and crying.
No,
and...
Dad, no! Come back, Papa! I mean, he did save the world.
Bruce Willis in Armageddon.
Harry Stamper, he saves the planet. That's great. Spoiler alert, sorry. He does not make it back. Second spoiler. But if you forget, like, he had his daughter living on an oil rig before that, right? Like in the middle of the ocean. Not necessarily the best dad. Yeah, mom supposedly ran away. Okay, but...
She was happy, though. She didn't want her dad to be lost in space forever.
No, she didn't want him to be, you know, floating away or anything like that. But she was, you know, dating Ben Affleck behind his back. Oh. So that wasn't comfortable.
It's one of those movie moments for me that you never forget because it strikes you so hard in that moment. Oh, I was so sad. Mm. All right, coming in number three, best movie dads in history.
Yeah.
Hello! Ah! Oh, I'm sorry to frighten you, dear. I must look like a yeti in this getup. This is my nightly meringue mask, part of my beauty regimen.
I miss Robin Williams. Wow, what a loss. But you know something? He lies to everybody. The entire film, he's lying to everybody. He loves his kids. He wants to get back in there. But if you're Sally Field, how do you deal with that?
I know. Mrs. Doubtfire, though, has to be one of my favorite movies of all time. It's just so fun. And you
it's
know
sweet.
What? It's timeless. I've been randomly playing movies for my six-year-old.
Yeah.
She thought it was hilarious, too.
I just saw a trailer that was trending the other day where they were sticking Robin Williams in other movies, mm-hmm. in other scenes, the vacuuming dancing scenes. And that was funny. But miss you, Robin.
Number two.
This is crazy. How's the water?
Exhilarating.
I'm in deep.
I love the vacation movies. Chevy Chase, not a great husband, maybe a decent dad. That's Christie Brinkley. He's about to jump in the pool with her.
I didn't watch a vacation movie until this past Christmas.
Uh-huh.
It was the first one I ever watched, and I don't know why. I just never did. And I remember thinking, this is funny, but he's really kind of mean to his wife and his kids and his family.
Oh, yeah. The humor was a little bit different. He assaults John Candy in that movie. There's a lot going on there.
I don't know if I would necessarily call him a great movie dad.
Right, he's number two on the list. That seems like a lot. Who's number one?
I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. If you are looking for a ransom, I can tell you I don't have money. But what I do have are a very particular set of skills.
Skills that I've acquired through a lifetime career of dealing. You know what? Nobody can deliver it better than Liam Neeson. That one I agree with 100%. Best dad.
Best dad in Taken? I've never seen Taken either. Should I watch it this Father's Day?
Girl, if you're in trouble, Liam Neeson is who you want.
That's the dad I want.
Yeah, but don't watch it with your kids.
Okay, I won't. What do you do when you are hit on right in front of your spouse?
Yeah. sometimes there's a magnetism that people just can't deny.
Really? That's what it is?
That's exactly what it is, Anna. Mm-hmm. I went to a fantastic seafood festival this past weekend. Man, I really enjoyed myself. I ate so much, had some nice drinks. I'm not allowed seafood. My wife doesn't eat it, so she never makes it or anything like that. So I was fully indulging myself. And while we're there in the sipping and drinking area, like, you know, they had an area where you can come through and do samples and all that stuff, it was tight quarters. And right as that happened, we're in that space, I felt something brush up against me. And then my wife will tell you what happened.
You got hit on right in front of me. Well, kind of behind me, but.
Well, what happened was this woman walked by and her purse got all up on my derriere.
Rubbed right up on me. Like so much I could feel that it was pebbled leather. Okay. Like it was a solid, solid brush up against my backside.
You think she said, my purse has a mind of its own. You said, it's okay. She said, well, it knows what it likes.
Yeah. And then she slapped
it. Standing right here.
And then she slapped it.
Did she slap it?
No, she didn't slap it.
Did she slap her purse?
I turned away. At that point, I was too scared of what you were going to do.
Now, paint the pictures. My wife is right next to me when this happens. Right next to me. And again, this woman is like, it knows what it likes.
Sorry,
my purse has a mind of its own.
Oh, you are just so... You were like, of course this woman is hitting on me. Of course.
Anna, you have met my wife.
I sure have.
Let me tell you what happened as soon as that took place. I just stared straight ahead and was like, please don't let this happen. Because this is all going on behind me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, something terrible is about to transpire right now.
You're always... Every time you get hit on, you brag about it for weeks.
No!
Hold on. Get Alicia. Alicia, do you find that most women hit on him when they meet him and they just can't help themselves?
No. No, I do not. But it happens.
And when it does happen, what is your reaction?
Well, sometimes it's out of line and tacky. This one the other night, I literally almost choked on my drink. I was laughing because she was so bold. This older woman, and it was funny, so I just laughed. I didn't know what else to do. It was awkward.
When you say she's an older woman, because Raven made it sound like it was a 25-year-old supermodel.
I did not at all.
Was she using a walker?
Was she
wearing a cardigan? Anything that we should be aware of?
No, but she was definitely in like her 60s.
No. Here's the funny thing is, neither Alicia or I looked directly at her, because... When it happened, my wife and I were in the middle of this festival, and it's close proximity. We're in this, you know, sip area where you're getting free drinks. I feel it. This exchange happens, and I immediately, from her voice and her boldness, I'm like, oh, my gosh, something terrible is about to happen right now. I thought
Alicia was going to fight an elderly woman.
I thought my wife was going to swoop. Well, here's the thing. I never turned around.
Oh.
I never looked at the woman.
Mm-hmm.
She just groped me and went on with her day.
All you saw was the bottom of her walker.
Alicia said she was so taken back by her bold nature. Also, she did not look at her directly either. We were just like, that happened.
I had looked at her the first time when she bumped into him.
Yeah.
I looked at her.
Yeah.
And then we turned back around and they had an exchange about how the purse hit him. And that was when she said, well, it knows what it wants.
That's right.
And I already had my back to her.
Yeah.
And
didn't look
so
back.
I didn't turn back around.
No, I did not
turn back around.
Alicia, do you find it flattering when women hit on Raven or annoying? Because then you have to listen to him brag about it.
I mean, obviously it's flattering, but at the same time, it depends who it's coming from and what the context is. Sometimes it's not very nice.
Night.
With this bold woman, she was like, take him if you want him.
I'm having a party, and you're invited!
I loved Pee Wee Herman growing up. I loved him so much. I had the Pee Wee Herman doll. I went to all the movies. I think it was the first movie I ever went to when I was like 5 years old.
You know, I gotta admit that I didn't love Pee Wee Herman growing up. It was probably just a couple of years behind me, and I felt a little bit... I don't know.
Too mature?
I just felt like it was weird and quirky, and I just didn't get it at the time. But I loved him as a dramatic actor. When I saw him in Blow, I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, Paul Rubens was a force. Really, really good.
I know you are, but what am I?
You're a nerd.
I know you are, but what am I?
You're an idiot.
I know you are, but what am I?
I know you are, but what am I?
Uh-huh.
And he had a reputation of being just a very, very sweet man.
Yes.
Sent everybody birthday cards. Everybody he ever worked with and met, all that.
All these things are great.
Now you're going to tear on his legacy.
I'm not tearing on his legacy. But we had a consultant. And if you're not familiar with how a consultant works, is they are an outside person that is hired by your company to tell you everything that you're doing right and everything that you're doing wrong.
Mostly wrong.
I was saying the benefit of the doubt, Raven. I was trying to be nice.
No, it's for your own benefit, though, is what they say.
So anyway, this whole time, they're talking about this Pee Wee Herman new documentary that's on HBO. It's a 2-part series. It's called Pee Wee as Himself.
He clearly was a fan.
As was I, you know.
Absolutely. He was clearly a fan,
he was a fan of the documentary.
Yeah.
He kept referencing the documentary and Paul Rubens and the way he did things so many times that I could not wait to watch this documentary.
Yeah.
And I will say it is fascinating that the whole time he was filming this documentary, he didn't tell anybody that he was privately fighting cancer.
Yeah.
You know, so he passed away a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that, I was intrigued and I could not wait to watch this and all the ways he tied it back to our show.
Spoiler alert. What happened?
It sucks.
Yeah. You didn't like it. Did you finish it?
No. So right. It's a 2-part series. It's an hour and a half each part, right?
Yeah.
So my daughter and she's 16, Hayden. I said, Hayden, will you please watch this with me? I think it's going to be really good. And Hayden's into that kind of stuff, like documentaries. Yeah. She's a Broadway kid. She's a theater kid. So we watched the first hour and a half, and I can see her starting to grab her phone to start to like scroll through TikTok.
Sure.
And I'm like, Hayden, come on. And she's like,
you can do this. This is important.
I'm trying to convince her.
Yeah.
It doesn't suck.
Yeah.
Right. And she's like, Ma, this is really, really bad. So we finish the first one. We eat dinner. She goes, I can't do it. I can't watch the second half. And I go, you know what? Neither can I.
So you didn't watch this. I mean, maybe the second half is so wonderful. You just don't know.
I don't know if I can do it.
Yeah.
It wasn't everything I had hoped for. And I kept thinking about is I had built this up and there was so much hype around it,
mm-hmm.
especially from our consultant.
It didn't deliver.
No.
No.
And I think some shows do that. Like you believe in them. You think they're going to be so good because everybody talks it up so much. Everybody's talking about it and you want to be part of that group.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you actually watch it, you realize it's terrible.
Yeah.
And not for you.
I love Star Wars by comparison. I mean, I love Star Wars.
Yeah.
You know that.
Of course.
I love all the movies. I've seen some of the shows. They came out with too many shows. I couldn't keep up with it. I didn't want to try and figure out where it fell in the timeline and all that stuff. So like I gave up on the Star Wars shows. Like I didn't watch them. I can't do it.
I've always been intimidated by the Star Wars.
I see a show. I see one episode and I'm like, wow, that's really good. And then I'm like, they should have just put it in a movie because that would have been easier for me to see it.
All right,
I don't know.
So what was the show? A show that was super popular that everybody knew about. Everybody was watching and you watched it and you were like, this is not for me.
I know you are, but what am I?
You're an idiot.
I know you are, but what am I?
I know you are, but what am I?
I had so much hype built up around this Pee Wee Herman documentary. I couldn't wait to watch it. We had a consultant that came in to work with us for a month, and all he talked about was this documentary and how much we could learn. I mean, he loved it.
He was very excited about it.
I couldn't wait to watch it. I couldn't do it. I made it through halfway, and I just was like, nope, I'm out for the second half.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you just don't connect with things the same way that everybody else does, right? Something comes out and you're like, I don't get it. You know what? When Glee or any of those musical shows was happening, what was the other one? Emily in Paris or whatever.
Yeah.
I would flip through and I'd be like, oh, this is fun for one song. And then I'd be like, wait a minute, they're going to keep doing this? And
yes.
I'd be like, nope. Well, I couldn't do it.
We had a caller that said that Hamilton didn't live up to the hype.
Didn't measure with you. And you were...
I was fired up.
I mean, yeah.
Hamilton is, I don't know. To me, it's one of the greatest things I've ever seen. You know? I mean, on TV, I couldn't afford to go see it on Broadway.
Sometimes you're watching something, you're just like, oh my gosh, this is brilliant. And other times you're just like, why am I, you know what I mean?
And sometimes everybody's watching something and is into it, and you try to watch it and you don't like it. What are those shows? Mike.
White Lotus.
Oh my gosh.
It's just a bunch of nothing happens, you know?
Well, a lot happens. I mean, the problem is you got to be into that style. I don't understand the situation with it either.
I haven't watched an episode yet, but I mean, I've heard of the element. So it's, you know, quirky and then these beautiful locations and all that stuff. And then it's like murder, right? And
well,
sex.
Of course. And I watched the first season and was into it enough.
Okay.
But then after that, I was like, I don't need to do this again in a different location.
No.
I was good with it.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Mike.
I was the same way about Breaking Bad. Never got into that either. I don't know. I just don't get it.
I never watched it until it was already over. I don't think I would have made it if I couldn't watch every episode back to back. But once I watched it that way, did love it. Still think Better Call Saul was a better show.
Did, So I just saw that the woman that owns the house from Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Did you see her? She sits outside on her folding chair with a hose. And when people stop to take pictures, she just sprays them in the face with the hose.
Well, I mean, I hear that the harassment has been going on for a long time and it can be pretty crazy. Like, people throw pizza on the roof and all that stuff. They want to reenact parts from the show.
Right.
And that's nuts. It's just a regular house in a neighborhood. Go away. You watch it on TV one time and then go away. But people, some people are deeply... deeply affected by that show.
No kidding.
Hi, Julie. What's that show that everybody saw that loved and you couldn't stand it?
Well, I'm actually thinking of a movie, if that's okay. And it's Barbie. I watched it. It had all this, like, super hype. And I made myself watch it to the end because I kept thinking, I'm missing something or something else is going to happen that makes me, you know, understand all the hype. It was just,
You know what, Julie? I felt the exact same way. And do you know that I'm such a crazy person, I forced myself to watch it a second time. And the second time, I liked it better. I still wouldn't say it lived up to the hype. Mm. I do agree with you. But the second time, after reading a lot of stuff, I was able to kind of understand things a little bit more.
Something that you have to work so hard at, though.
Right.
I don't know that that's right. Right? Like, you know, like I love it when something has layers and you come back to it and it gets better. But it should be good enough that it hooks a good portion of people without that.
You know what I mean? I don't want to work so hard sometimes.
Right, you know? right. Stephanie, tell us about a show that everybody talked to you about, and then you were like, this is dirt. I don't like it.
Oh, my God, Stranger Things. I know what you're going to say, but we couldn't get into it.
I liked the first season, and I wouldn't even say liked, but it was intrigued. And then it was another one that kind of fell off for me.
You know what? I mean, I got to say, season one, because of all the throwbacks, the video game references, the T-shirts, the whole, like, just aesthetic of it looking that way to me, I loved it. But I did find it weird, but it hooked me on Millie Bobby Brown. Like, she completely pulled me in as just this weird kid that gets nosebleeds and then makes things happen. I was interested in that. I can't tell you what happened the last few seasons, though, and I watched every episode.
Yeah, no, I think it's coming to an end now, right? This is the close. It's almost done. It's almost done, finally.
I think there's like three releases of this last season, but yeah. We say almost done. It's like, it's done for a year and a half.
If you believe what the internet is reporting, they were paid $1 million to do this documentary, and it makes all the difference in the world because I am 100% captivated. Trending is powered by 5-Hour Energy. Did you know that 5-Hour Energy can be ordered online? You can easily build your own custom 12 or 24 pack. Check it out today, 5hourenergy.com. Raven, yesterday the 3-part documentary about the Gilgo Beach killer was released on Peacock.
Yes.
Now, it's different from a lot of the other documentaries. You know,
The main thing that's different is his family's involved.
His family's in it.
Yeah.
And it's produced by 50 Cent. And when I watched the opening credits, I didn't know. So I watched the opening credits and I go, did that just say 50 Cent? And I went back and I'm like, yeah, 50 Cent made this. He's the executive producer.
You know,
producer
he did
on
the
it.
Same thing with The Rise and Fall of Diddy. He also produced that.
But this is better. This is so much better.
I mean, this is the first one that you've watched, right? Because the Gilgo Beach thing is something that I've been watching basically the entire time.
Yes, but when you watch the other documentaries, it's basically everything that's in the news. So it's a lot of news.
Yeah, but you didn't watch them.
Reports.
So you don't.
No,
I mean, there was investigation. The whole reason it was in the news in the open the investigation was because the other ones brought the attention to it.
But now you get to go into the house and
that's
talk
wild.
To the wife.
Yeah.
After this all happened. So if you look at the news reports, it goes back 2 years. They were paid $1 million 2 years ago. And the reason why his wife never came out and talked to the media is because she already had signed this deal with NBC
and Peacock. It's an exclusivity, right.
Yes. So when you're watching the documentary, and I'm not going to spoil it because I fell asleep after the first one and I couldn't stay awake for the second. So that's the rest of my day later on.
That's what you're doing.
That's what I'm doing today. In case you need me, you know where to find me. I'll be on my couch. And they talk to the best friend.
Yeah.
There's so much evidence against you. I don't even believe you. And you're my best friend. Convince me. Give me something. Did you do it?
I mean, you're listening to the best friend. Can you imagine your best friend all of a sudden gets arrested for all these murders that have been in the news for the last 15 years?
Yeah.
And you're like, wait, my best friend? My the dude that I go and I hang out with?
Yeah, it's an amazing story. They believe that this guy is so prolific that he could have been doing this in Atlantic City. He could have been doing this in Las Vegas and across the country, too. And it's also a shame in how long it took to bring this guy to justice because there were a lot of missteps along the way. But It's an amazing story. And you know.
When you see the house from the inside, the house is so disheveled.
Yeah.
And all you can think about.
Dilapidated, really.
Right. It's falling apart. And all you can think of, this is supposed to be a New York City architect, mm-hmm. like a famed architect. And this is the living conditions. And all the eyes have been on the wife. And the whole time, you wonder. And as a wife myself, how do you not know?
Right.
How? And this is, I'm only playing the part from the trailer, so there's no spoilers.
The investigator says to me, have you heard about the murders on Gilgo Beach? I've heard of them. Does everybody really believe everything they hear?
Kinda. I mean, right?
again, scary story, scary stuff. You know, if you've got a brilliant mind and the structure for it, you know, that's the thing about these psychopaths, right? They are usually very intelligent, too.
But it's wild because they show all the childhood pictures of, you know, it's a normal dad. But
you're getting,
it's a normal father.
Yeah, you're getting insight to a family that you had not gotten on any of these other series.
Right, because, right? You immediately think he's a monster. He's an ogre. He's a monster. He's all the things that the news has told you. And
then
all of a sudden,
like all those things.
You see him on vacation with his kids and he's holding his baby and he's doing all these things. And it humanizes him.
Right, yeah.
And it's weird to see it from that side. And congratulations to 50 Cent. Who knew?
$1 million will get you a lot of ways, right? It'll open a lot of doors for you.
I'm going to show up
with a suitcase.
I'm going to stay awake the rest of the day today. Guarantee. I'm watching the last two episodes. End of the school year for so many kids right now. And, when you think back on your school year, you always wonder, like, what was the best day, your most favorite day of the school year?
Yeah.
So, Raven, we asked a whole bunch of kids, what day was it?
My favorite day of the school year is coming up. It's my last day.
Predictable. Predictable.
You know what? You ask a kid a silly question, right? He's going to give you a straightforward answer sometimes. I mean, predictable, yes, but accurate probably for that guy.
But the last day always has so much excitement, too.
Yes. You know?
And like for some reason, kids, if you give them an option to take a day off, 9 times out of 10, they'll take that. But they don't want to take it on the last day. They always want to go to school on the last day of school.
Why take off the last day? It's an easy day. You're not doing any work. You're there. You're saying bye to friends. I'm always bummed, actually, when some people were. I can remember being a kid and some of your friends not being there. And you'd be like, why did they take today out?
Right.
You know?
Because like, they're on vacation already.
They were.
Yeah.
In February, there's this thing at my school called Heads Holiday. It's where we got the whole day off, and they, like, rent trucks and stuff. They got balloon soccer. So that's probably my favorite day.
Oh, did your school ever have, like, special days like that where they bring in food trucks or ice cream or anything? I never had that growing up.
Yeah, I don't really recall us having a lot of that. Field Day, I remember, like, there's an ice place in our town. They came.
My favorite day wasn't too long ago. I think it was Thursday when I had my 8th grade prom.
Oh my gosh, middle school dances. Oh.
What was the song at yours? Aerosmith Angel.
Everything was Boys to Men, which was certainly too romantic when I think down on bended knee when you're 13 years old.
Yeah, not really appropriate.
No.
Aerosmith Angel was mine at Kegwin. Yeah.
The day, I think it was like before Christmas break or sometime during the week before Christmas break, because I think I was chilling in physics, not paying attention at all. But then I looked outside the window and it just started snowing. And I was like, okay, snow the day before Christmas break. Come on. Is this a Lifetime movie? Am I in Hallmark? Where's the camera crew?
Oh my. But do you remember any time it would start snowing if you were in school, if you live in an area where it does snow? It transforms you. It transforms the entire.
Because we're getting out.
Everybody's so excited.
Gone.
Like you want it to be bad enough that if they're going to call an early dismissal. Like it's so
but not
good.
So bad that you're going to have to shovel.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Hayden, my 16-year-old, she works with a bunch of preschool kids. It's part of our high school program, which is fantastic. And she had them yesterday, and I guess it started raining. And she said she's never heard so many 3-year-olds scream about rain. She was like, "Ma, it's like they had never seen rain before. They were so excited."
That's weird.
My favorite day for this school year is going to be on Monday. I'm going to Six Flags.
Oh, I was so
jealous.
Jealous of the kids that got to go to the amusement park.
Field trips were awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, when I went to school, we did field trips 3-4 times a year at first. And then it hit a certain time period and it just all stopped.
Right. When did we stop doing field trips? Remember, sometimes there would even be overnight field trips.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No. Forget about that at this point. Liability? No way.
Probably field day, which I had yesterday. We ran stuff. We had a bunch of kids playing.
You either loved field day or you hated field day.
Win, lose, or draw, you're outside, right? So, I mean, that's good.
Unless it's 1,000 degrees.
Yeah, that's not great.
Yeah. But that means there's popsicles coming.
Everybody's fighting for those, you know, couple pieces of shade you've got under a few trees out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's rough.
When I got accepted into my sport during the school day.
Yeah. Anytime you go to check the list and your name is on the list and you made
it
or got the high grade or whatever, that's a good day.
Yeah. Come on. Do you remember this story? I just read it. I don't even remember this being a thing. In 2011, Rutgers paid Snooki mm-hmm. from Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
$32,000 to come speak at the college, but then they only paid Toni Morrison $30,000 to give the commencement speech. I didn't know you got paid to give the commencement speech. I had no idea.
Of course you get paid to do a commencement speech, unless you're showing up and they're giving you like an honorary doctorate or something like that. And even still, I think they probably pay those people and compensate them too.
Really?
I mean, that's part of the payoff. When they give you an honorary doctorate, it connects you to a place and they're like, yeah, show up.
Can somebody... All I want to do is mm-hmm. give a commencement speech. I want to give a graduation speech. And I know that we're getting to the end.
Yeah.
A lot of colleges have already had theirs. A lot of high schools have already had theirs.
I don't know what's happening in my town. The mayor is resigning and they're putting like his second in. But imagine like you're at the high school and you were supposed to have the mayor and then you got like this dude you never heard of.
We're available.
Not doing the commencement.
Guys, Raven and I are available to give your commencement speech. If you have somebody that stinks or you just... I don't have to pay me. I want to do it for fun.
Here's the thing. Sometimes, like, there's somebody that's so great at your school and, like, you know, they're going to come back and everybody knew they were going to be great, right? Like, Anna and I, we went to school. We were kind of like middle of the road students.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not incredible. But we've got jobs, right? We pay our bills.
Now,
we're doing all right for ourselves.
I mean, this year, just this year, this year. Now, forget the fact that Snooki gave a speech that got paid $30,000 at Rutgers. But just this year, Kermit the Frog, Al Roker, Jennifer Coolidge, Derek Jeter, all of them gave commencement speeches.
I mean, some of those people are pretty interesting people. Al Roker, I like Al Roker.
He's a nice guy.
I mean, but he's a nice guy, but overrated, all right? He's everywhere as a weatherman. You're a weatherman on television.
The nicest weatherman.
So? What is he telling me that I'm going to take with me for the rest of my life that's going to carry me off to success?
Listen, here's the thing. Okay, I'm going to put it out
there. Pressure system coming across the Midwest. What is that going to do for me?
If anybody wants us, I mean, maybe not Raven, maybe just me. That's fine, too. You can call 1-800-330-9999. We're available. But in the meantime, as we send off the graduates into the world, whether they're going off to college or they're going off to get jobs or wherever they're headed next, what would be the advice you would give to the graduating class of 2025? Kaylin, let's start with you.
Don't get a job that looks good to everyone else. Focus on getting a job that feels good because you got to be there every day. So make sure you feel good when you're there.
That's a good tip.
There's nothing worse than working a job where you just can't stand it. And I mean, there are jobs that work out to be great jobs and you have bad days. There are jobs that have their good times and bad times. It's another thing entirely when you're going to a job every day that you cannot stand, that you're only there because you need it to exist. That's tough.
The hard part about that is sometimes you don't know until you're in it.
True.
You know, till you're
100%.
Yeah. So that's difficult. But I could understand that. That's great advice. And you know, you'll know soon enough if you're meant to be there or not.
In the meantime, take risks.
Do you have advice for the graduating class of 2025? What is it? 1-800-330-9999. And if you have a high school or a college that needs a commencement speaker last minute, we are available. What's the advice you have for the graduating class of 2025? Got a text from Sandy. If you're going into law enforcement, don't take criminal justice in college. I like when it's real, real information. It says, take a trade like computers because it'll help you in the long run if law service doesn't work out.
The local tech school near my house, the high school, is now offering criminal investigation. Like, it's more forensics mm-hmm. collection, that type of stuff, because that's really important for the future moving ahead.
All I wanted to ever do was give a commencement speech at a high school or a college. That's been my dream forever. And, you know, this year, Kermit the Frog, gave a speech. Mm-hmm. Lots of people gave speeches. Our phone did not ring.
So nobody ever calls us.
If anybody last minute, I know we're down to the wire. A lot of them has happened. You want us to do it, come in last minute. We are available. You can call us at 1-800-330-9999. But in the meantime, what's the advice you have for the graduating class? Amika.
Yes, for the college graduates that start putting money away or towards your retirement, even if it is $5 or $50 a month, start doing it.
Yeah, do it right away. That's great advice.
It's really good advice because you don't think about that when you're 23 years old, but then all of a sudden you blink and you're 40 and you're like, wait a minute.
Right.
Now what?
Had I been doing that the whole time, imagine what that could be, right? Mm-hmm. Greg, best advice you got after graduation, remember? What was it?
At 22, when I was getting out of college, this is hard to believe at 22 because you got your whole life ahead of you and you have all these plans of, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make my first million at 25. And you have all these plans in your mind. At 36, I believe it now. Do not have any expectations of how it's quote-unquote supposed to go. No one owes you anything. The job market doesn't owe you anything. You can have plans and you can have dreams, but to expect this is how it's going to happen or I have to hit this benchmark at this age, be flexible. Someone told me, don't have everything mapped out to a T. This is the only way it's going to happen or I'm a failure because you're going to just set yourself up.
100%, right? Don't put too much pressure on yourself to be perfect.
I did that and it was a big mistake. I had things where I wanted to be married by 25. I had to have kids by the time I was 30. I had it in my head that if I was not on TV by 37, mm-hmm. then my life was pretty much like I couldn't do it.
Lena, advice for the grads. What do you got?
Do what you love and you will never work another day in your life.
I mean, it's basic information, but it is true.
I agree with you. But also, I have my dream job that I've dreamed about since I was a teenager.
You're still working.
There's still plenty of days where it's work.
Yeah, you're doing a lot of work.
Show up and it's work.
Right. And, you know, it's all about, how you're showing up. And I mean, I think that at some point, some people coast and they just get used to their regular stuff every day. And other people, they're ambitious. They want to always strive ahead. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Big Bear, do you have advice for the graduates?
Yes. If I was at a commencement, I would tell all of the future leaders of the world to take your time, to slow down. Don't be in such a rush to hurry up and do stuff.
Mm.
I know kids that have tried, that have done stuff to graduate high school early. And I said, why would you do that? Enjoy that moment in school with your friends. Because once you get into this real world, it's crazy. It's brutal.
It's true. You know, we do heap pressure on ourselves. We definitely do. And that's not necessarily a way to live.
We want everything now. Yeah, that's a good lesson that I learned actually from our CEO. He told me to be patient. And it's something that sticks with me.
Take your time.
Yeah.
Eric, quickly, you got some advice for the grads? Tell us.
Well, no, I thought you guys wanted me to refer you to my college.
No, I want you to be the dean calling saying, come on Saturday.
No, but I'm saying, as an alumni, I will let them know that I want Anna and Raven to do a commencement speech at my college.
Yeah, okay, do that. Do it right now.
Yeah.
Call them. Call them right now.
And tell them to call us back. We're here.
Yeah, we're available. If you're traveling somewhere very far away this summer, where are you going? 1-800-330-9999. On Google Trends, traveling is like the number one thing right now. Everybody's Googling travel, which I get. Sure. It's the beginning of the summer. People are planning their stuff. They want to go. They want to escape. But the number one thing that people are Googling is Japan traveling hacks. Japan?
Yeah.
And then I looked it up, and it said a record 36.9 million visitors came to Japan in 2024, up 47% from the year before.
I mean, beautiful place, rich history, of course. You've got different ecological areas as far as like there's mountains and valleys and the ocean and all that, too. The cherry blossoms, they be a blooming. It's going to be a cool spot to go.
I had no idea that so many people were going to Japan. And when I hear about Japan, I'm like, that's far.
Sounds very exotic, right?
Very, very
other
far
end of
away.
The earth, and it is.
Yes, and I always think like there's so many places I'd like to visit: New Zealand and Australia.
Yeah,
but then
very far.
All I think about is that flight and how long it takes to get there, and what if I don't like the food? Mm-hmm. You know, things like dumb things I worry about.
You know what? I always want to go to Australia. It's always been my dream. It's really the biggest of all my dream vacations. And my wife is always worried about the wildlife, which is a real thing. And, you know, the insects and the snakes and all those things, definitely a real thing there in Australia. And, you know, 16 hours worth of flights. Furthest I've ever been is Hawaii, which doesn't seem that exotic for people because it's America.
Of course.
And it's distinctly American. It's very island, but it's distinctly American if you've ever visited Hawaii.
I went to Tahiti for my honeymoon. I've been to Italy. I've been over to Europe.
Sure.
I want to go to Africa. You know, it's so funny because you say I want to. But if you have something booked right now, where are you going this summer? We're trying to find who's going the furthest place. Sam?
I am heading all the way over to Greece this summer, which is super exciting for me because I've been obsessed with Greek mythology since I was a kid. So it feels like a long time coming.
That's awesome. What a great trip.
That's cool. So, like, who are you going with? Do you have other people that are into similar interests or what? Because, like, a lot of people, the stuff I geek out on, they're like, okay. They're like, that's cool for you, but they would never want to go on that trip.
Yeah, I'm going with my family. I think I'll be dragging them around to some of the kind of historical stuff. But, you know, it's Greece, so I think they'll be pretty happy to be on the beaches and everywhere else, too.
Yeah, I felt bad for my father this past year because we went to Italy. And I've got a 16-year-old and a 6-year-old. And my dad is super into art.
Yeah.
But he would not drag us to one gallery. He's like, I'm not making you go do this. I know that's not what you want to do.
And it's going to, you know, it pressures his time too. Even if you're like, no, take your time, enjoy. Like, you feel that energy. I get that. Yeah. My thing is poker. I want to play in a poker tournament whenever I'm near a casino or anything like that. That takes hours. It could take a day. It could take 2 days.
You go on that trip by yourself.
Yes.
But if I went to Greece with you, I would go look at all the ancient Greek mythology stuff. I would find that super cool. As long as there is shade and ample amount of cold water, because it gets hot in the sun over there.
I was going to say shade is at a premium sometimes, in those locations.
And there's none. When you go to those ruins anywhere,
right. No,
you think you're just going to drop dead right there in the middle. Bring an umbrella.
That's why those rocks are still standing, because nobody can last around them.
True. People are going to Japan. Lots of people are going to Japan on vacation. It's the number one Google trend travel. Is people are searching Japanese travel hacks. And Japan posted that they had a 47% increase in tourism over the last year.
I mean, it's a beautiful place. Amazing history. Yeah. I mean, I get it. It's certainly interesting.
But it's super far away. And we're wondering, if you're going super far away this summer, where are you going? Where's your trip planned to? Robin?
I just tuned in and heard you say Japan, and I'm going in October.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Why did you want to visit there?
Just, it's so exotic, the food, the people, the culture, the history. It just sounds amazing. We had a trip planned during COVID, and it was canceled.
Yeah.
So I've wanted to go for several years, and it's finally happening.
Are you going to go up in the mountains and go see those monkeys that hang out in the hot springs?
We're actually going to Tokyo for about 4 days, and then we're going to cruise around the rest.
Oh, man. That sounds incredible. Have a great time.
Awesome.
When you get back, call and let us know how it was.
Paige, tell us, where are you going on vacation this summer?
Well, first of all, I'm retiring in 12 days from teaching.
Hey, congratulations.
Thank you. I'm so excited. And I booked the trip to Australia and New Zealand because if I'm flying that far, I'm going to see both.
100%.
Yes. And I'm going for 25 days in November.
Fantastic.
That
Who are you going
amazing.
With?
Amazing.
I'm going with two other retired teachers. Yeah, I'm just so excited. I knew I didn't want to do it in the summer because it's their winter. Mm-hmm. So I had to wait till I retire.
Well,
so,
enjoy.
Looking forward to it, but not the flight.
What's the number one thing you're looking forward
to
doing?
God. Great Barrier Reef, the animals. I don't know. There's so much there. There's so much culture.
New Zealand, when you're looking in those valleys, it's just going to be absolutely amazing.
Yeah, the koalas look cuddly, but don't try to hug them. That I've learned from watching TV.
I would be in a boat. On the reef, by the way.
I did hear that.
Yeah.
And I am a little afraid of, like, some of the animals, but I'm sure they'll take very good care of us because it would kill their tourism if I got, like, bitten by a shark on the Great Barrier Reef. So.
Fair. Unless they just kept it quiet.
I mean, it's happened.
Right. Thanks, Paige.
Quiet. Don't say that. All right. Thank you, guys. Love
Bye.
You.
Great
Have
trip.
Fun.
Congratulations on your retirement.
Jackie, where are you going on vacation? That's super far away.
So I'm actually headed to Spain. I guess it's more remote than far away. I'm hiking the Camino de Santiago trail that starts over the border in France, and you hike it all the way to the coast.
That's cool.
That's amazing.
Wow.
How do you even know to do that? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
It's part of a pilgrimage trail for the Catholicism religion, but I'm just doing it for physical and spiritual purposes. And along the way, there's different hostels. So you stop in the little cities as you hike about 15 to 20 miles a day.
Yeah, oh, I was into it until you said I had to hike 15 to 20 miles a day.
It's like the Appalachian Trail, except cooler, sexier, better weather, but all those things.
And you need hiking boots, yes.
Hey, Steve, you going somewhere exotic? Where are you going? What's this far trip you're taking this year?
Me and a buddy from high school, we're doing our bucket list trip, and we're going fishing in Alaska.
Wow. Yeah. Anna did that, as a matter of fact.
I've never seen my husband happier in our 20 years of marriage than on that day on that boat out there. It was the happiest I've ever seen him.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's how I feel, too.
Yeah. Have the best time ever.
Enjoy, guys.
One couple.
It makes me furious. I don't get it.
This is what she wants to do.
One problem.
My daughter wants to do a spa weekend for her 16th birthday.
And I'm being deprived of going there because I'm a guy?
You decide the outcome.
All right, Gabby, you got to be happy to hear that, right?
Yeah, I mean, we can have a family dinner when we get back in town.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. And then it's up for you to decide who's right. Couples Court is powered by 5-Hour Energy. Did you know 5-Hour Energy can be ordered online? You can easily build your own custom 12 or 24 pack. Check it out today, 5hourenergy.com. Steve and Tessa. Tessa, what's going on?
Hey, y'all. So my coworker, she basically admitted to me that she, if you ask me, she stole the dog. She says she rescued it. She says she saw the dog running across a busy intersection and she just, you know, took it. I mean, in essence, you know, she saved the dog, but she didn't try to call the pound. She didn't check to see if it was microchipped. She didn't post it online. She didn't do anything. As a former dog owner who had their dog taken, you know, I feel some kind of way, and I feel like I want to report her because it's not yours. Just because you found it doesn't mean it's not like with kids, finders, keepers, losers, weepers. That's not the way that goes.
Hold on, Tessa, hold on. This is all coming real fast. Your coworker rescued a dog that was running across a busy street, and now she's keeping the dog without trying to figure out who the owner is.
That's right. She's just like, ooh, I got a new pet.
Tessa, I'm so sorry. So you said that you lost a dog? Did you have a dog get out and was then never returned or found?
Yes,
oh,
I did. The dog was never, I really looked for my dog.
No, I'm sure you did. That's extremely upsetting. And I've actually heard this with people when there's been break-ins, that the dogs disappear. There's a woman in our area, she's been looking for years and years. How heartbreaking. I mean, that's 100% a crime, I'm pretty sure, but...
Wait, hold on. Did the dog have a collar on?
She said the dog had a collar on it, but it was kind of worn, so I guess she couldn't necessarily see the number on it. But that, to me, is an indicator that it belonged to someone.
Yeah, I mean, 100% All right. belongs to somebody. If it's wearing a collar and the number's worn, not checking the microchip, I mean, you find a dog, you rescue a dog, first thing, they should go to the vet. So what exactly do you want to do about this?
I want to report her to the authorities.
Okay.
Let the dog at least try to go back to its owner. The dog, it doesn't look like it's malnourished. It doesn't look like it's not loved. So that means there's somewhere out there could be a little Jimmy out there looking for his dog, and she got it cooped up in his house.
All right, but Steve, why would you be against her riding on her coworker?
I saw a picture of the dog when the coworker got it. And it looks like it had been on the street a while. I legit think that the dog was abandoned, which is why I don't think this is an issue. It's not our problem. If we go and rat, if Tessa rats on the coworker, she's going to know who did that. Like, Tessa's always talking about that dog. It's going to be pinned on her. It's not our problem. You're going to stir the pot at work. More than likely, that dog was abandoned. Like, there's no proof.
Okay, so, all right. But, Tessa, did you say to your coworker, why didn't you call the police? Why didn't you call the pound? Why didn't you call a vet?
She blew it off. She never really answered me. She just kind of,
Hey, listen, if I thought a dog was neglected, or if I knew of a dog, I mean, there's been situations before when I've called to report things over and over and over again, and I feel like enough's not being done, and I consider kidnapping a dog. Because I was looking out for the betterment of the animal. But if the animal is healthy and out, you know, somebody is missing that dog. That's not right.
You get involved, though? Now, then that becomes like an issue at work with your coworker,
Yeah, that's
too.
Complicated, but I mean, it's a moral issue above all that.
I don't know. What would you do? Would you rat out your coworker that she took this dog without going through the proper channels? If you felt that your coworker, quote unquote, stole a dog, would you report the authorities or would you keep your big mouth shut? That's what's going on with Steve and Tessa. Tessa said her coworker said There was a dog running across a busy road. Mm-hmm. I got the dog. I'm in love with the dog, and I'm keeping it. That's it. She didn't call anybody. She didn't see if it belonged to anyone. Just keeping the dog.
Yeah. I mean, I think most of us agree that that's morally wrong. Steve says, though, you can't get involved. He says, this is a coworker. She's only really talked to you about it. And you've been talking to her about the dog constantly. If somebody's going to come knock on our door, she's going to know that it was you that said something. But on the other hand, I mean, if you've ever owned a pet or had a family member or anything like that disappear, like, I mean, it would be heartbreaking to have that wonder.
Right, but do you get involved? Kevin, what do you think about this?
Well, I actually got a dog myself. I got it when she was 2 weeks old, and now she is 2 years old. My dog would have never run away from me, but I would say definitely return the dog. You know, if it's malnourished, definitely do not return a dog. But if the dog looks healthy, happy, and everything, maybe the dog is just lost.
Mm. Right, but you Kevin, would you rat out the coworker? Would you call the cops on the coworker for not returning the dog?
I wouldn't call the cops, but I would, you know, be like, hey, you encourage her. I'm sorry, it's me and my wife. Yeah, just encourage my friend. You know, this is the right thing to do. I mean, you know, honestly, I've had my dog and I would be hurt. Somebody I knew or anybody would have steal my dog.
If you believed that your coworker stole a dog, would you report them to authorities or just stay out of it? Couples Court Verdict is powered by BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes it easy to match with a licensed therapist. Get 10% off your first month of online therapy at BETTERHELP.com/Anna and Raven.
Steve and Tessa find themselves in the middle of this disagreement because Tessa's coworker found a dog, scrambled across a busy intersection. She picked the dog up, rescued it. And in fact, at that moment there, it had a collar with a worn phone number on it. But after that, she didn't call the town. She didn't call the pound. She didn't call a vet's office. She did none of those things and basically told Tessa, I'm keeping this dog. Tessa thinks to herself, you stole somebody's dog.
Right.
But somebody could be looking for this dog.
But Steve says, you're the only person that knows. If she gets in trouble, you ratted her out, and then it's going to cause all these issues at work. Just keep your mouth shut. It's none of your business.
Somebody somewhere is crying for that dog, unless they aren't. Right? Like, that's the thing, right? So, you know, I mean, if you find a dog that's in a bad position, did it happen from the street? Did it happen because they've been out there that long? Who knows?
What would you do? 1-800-330-9999. Avery.
Yeah, something. I would rat her out because you know thing. First of all, the dog has to go to eventually a vet, and the vet's gonna be like, what information is she gonna have? And the chip and stuff, she'll get caught. Like, so why not do it now and maybe have to tell the coworker? You know, owning an animal is great, but there's a lot of responsibility, and when you have to take care of it, what are you gonna do then?
You know, the main thing here is right. If you take the dog to a vet, which is the number one thing that you'd want to do if you were getting a new animal to care for that animal, the vet's going to want to know what's the history of this animal. They're definitely going to scan them for a microchip anyways. And if you're not doing that, just giving a dog a bath and a bed in your house and food is not the proper way to care for an animal either.
Well, right. But do you know how many people don't bring their dogs to the vets and do the routine checkups?
Yeah, but that's terrible. And, yeah, I wouldn't recommend that. So I'm like, I'm all about. Let's tell on this person. Come on.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Tessa, our audience agreed with you. If you feel morally inclined that you have to do this, then just go ahead with it. But, I mean, be understanding that it might have consequences down the road with your coworker.
Well, you know, I'm glad that they agree. I don't particularly mind. All actions have consequences at the end of the day, and the day's got to end. So, you know, if the dog has an owner, if there's some little kid is looking for their dog, they're, you know, they need to be, you know, rightfully with them. And if it's meant to be her pet, then she'll find one. And if you need a dog, go adopt one.
Yeah, I you know what, Tessa? This is a situation where I'm emotionally compromised, and I couldn't agree with you more. And it's whatever the consequences are going to be, but I'm going to have to do what I think is right. But, you know, the only thing I would say is maybe I talk to her first and say, I don't know, you share this with me, and I feel strong about it. You know what I mean? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But that's a you choice, and the voters didn't seem to demand that. Steve, I'm sorry the votes didn't go that way.
Yeah, I still kind of disagree with it, but I do agree with what you just. I think she does need to talk to the coworker first. I think that is.
Give her a shot. Say, you know, you shared this with me, and you know, I'm not comfortable with it. You know what I mean? And just, you know, and then whatever.
Right.
If it's truly morally wrong, then you know it is what it is. Maybe you can't be friends anyways.
Yeah, this is true.
All right. If you have a problem too, send an email couplescourt@annonraven.com.
Can't Beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $400 thanks to T-Mobile. If you're 55 and up, T-Mobile has plans built just for you. Get the savings you want on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/choice55 and start saving today. Juan, ready to play? Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it. Good luck, man. $400.
All right, Raven's walking out of here. That big old door is going to close. He's not going to be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions, Juan. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. He'll come back in, get the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. Are you ready?
Yep.
Number one, a list of some of the best dads in movie history includes Chevy Chase in the Vacation series, Bruce Willis in Armageddon, and the movie where there's a drive-by fruiting starring Robin Williams. What movie is that?
There's
number two, Sam Asghari says his very public marriage wasn't good for him or his career. Who is he famously married to?
I don't know.
Number three, quarterback Aaron Rodgers confirms that he is married to a mystery woman after wearing a wedding ring. What college did Aaron Rodgers attend before entering the NFL?
Was it Cal?
Okay, number four. 2 more BTS K-pop stars have been discharged from the military after serving their required time. They served for what country?
Korea.
And number 5, the Broadway show Smash is abruptly shutting down after a poor showing at the Tony Awards. Which Wicked star hosted the Tonys this week?
Cynthia Erivo.
All right. Come on in, Raven. Where is he? Come on.
Yo.
I'm going to give Juan 4 out of 5.
Well, that sounds questionable, but let's see how it goes.
I mean, it was very vague how he answered things, but vague enough that I think it's right.
Vague doesn't sound like an answer, but let's go.
Not right. Number one, a list of some of the best dads in movie history includes Chevy Chase in the Vacation series, Bruce Willis in Armageddon, and the movie where there's a drive-by fruiting starring Robin Williams. What movie is that?
That's Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yes. Number two, Sam Asghari says his very public marriage wasn't good for him or his career. Who is he famously married to?
Britney Spears.
Correct. Liar, liar, pants on fire. That's all I got to say about that.
I mean, we wouldn't know who he was without that.
Number three, quarterback Aaron Rodgers confirms that he is married to a mystery woman after wearing a wedding ring. What college did Aaron Rodgers attend before entering the NFL?
Is it USC?
No, he went to Cal.
Right, it's the University of California, Berkeley. Number four, 2 more BTS K-pop stars have been discharged from the military after serving their required time. They serve for what country?
South Korea.
Yes. And number 5, the Broadway show Smash is abruptly shutting down after a poor showing at the Tony Awards. Which Wicked star hosted the Tonys this week?
Cynthia Erivo.
Yes.
And she's great.
I'm sorry, Juan, you guys tied at 4 today. That's going to get you an Ann on Raven t-shirt.
Thank you.
Almost had me on that one. $500 tomorrow, Anna.
It's Juan and I can't beat Raven.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.